Welcome, everybody, to the Paparazzi Podcast. I am Jedi, he is Mark, and on today's podcast, you know what? Same shit, different day.
Same shit meaning you've got no sets and I've got five?
Exactly. Pretty much.
Kidding.
Should we start with a crack?
No.
No? Okay. Should we just leave it there and be done?
No, I think we should start with a crack.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
So I was on the El Segundo Brewing Company's Instagram a couple of days ago, and I saw that they had a flash sale super duper deal on. So it was 24 cans. I think it was 16 cans of their Blurred Lines, which I have not tried. And then it was eight cans of the Change of Plans, which I think we cracked a few papisodes ago. So I quickly logged on to their website. I purchased. And that's what I'm going to be cracking for you today. I'm going to be cracking a Blurred Lines.
And I'm going to crack the same beer because I went and got the same deal after you went and got your deal. Because that's what you do when you live around here and you get those deals. So let's hear how this Blurred Lines cracks.
Oh, very similar to mine.
Man, I hope you got the squirt all over the ground.
And if any of you are local to the El Segundo area, I suggest checking out this deal. I think it's 55% off. So you're getting 24 cans for $40, where it usually costs you around 90. So it's a very good deal.
And it's not because it's old beer either. It's they just changed distributors, so the old distributor sent a bunch back, and there we are.
Mate, what's been going on? Shall I start first?
Yeah.
Well, I have only worked one day since the last podcast.
Okay.
But, you know, technically one and a bit. I got a call on, I think it was Thursday night or Thursday afternoon. Jedi, I've got to stop doing that voice. People have got to be getting fed up with
it. I like the voice.
Jedi, can you go out of town? It's like a Harris voice. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I keep thinking it is. Because any agency boss is a Harris.
Yeah. Jedi, can you go out of town? Can you go to Vegas? And I'm instantly thinking, okay, the English pin-up model / like page 3 nudie girl, Katie Price, a.k.a. Jordan, is currently in Vegas at the moment, supposedly there to get married. So I'm thinking that's what I'm heading there for.
Okay.
So I agree to the job because that's a good one. I photographed her before. I've actually photographed her all over Los Angeles before, and I photographed her in Australia before. So I'm thinking that is what I'm heading there for. So I agree to the job and I say, okay, tell me all the details later on after the flight's booked. So they book the flight for me. I fly in Thursday that evening and the job is for Friday, they tell me. And after it's all booked, I get told that it is for a funeral. I am I'm being sent to photograph the funeral and the memorial service of a young lady called Tina Tinter.
Yeah.
She was the 23-year-old Serbian girl who was rear-ended by the Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Henry Ruggs a couple of weeks ago. He was driving over the limit, I think two times over the limit, so he'd been drinking and actually playing Topgolf.
He was at Topgolf, yeah.
At Topgolf that evening. And he rear-ended her. He was going 156 miles an hour in his Corvette. He slowed down to, I think, I mean, he's still going ridiculously fast.
That's just
fast.
Taking your foot off the gas.
Yeah, he took his foot off the gas, got down to, I think, 125, 126, hit Tina's car, and it burst into flames and, you know, killed her and her pet dog, Max, I think it was. So, you know, I wasn't super excited to be going to shoot a funeral. I knew it wasn't going to be a pap job. It was a news job. I figured there would be Las Vegas media there, you know, a couple of TV outlets and maybe photographers from Las Vegas Sun. And I was correct. I rolled in. I think the service started at noon. I got there about 10:30, nice and early, just to scope it out to make sure it wasn't going to be a pap job. And Channel 13 News were set up in the corner. I went and pulled up next to them. And when I actually went and spoke to the rabbi, I told him my intentions, said I'm here photographing for the for a British newspaper and their American website, their sister. And I just told him my intentions, that I wasn't going to be running up on any of the family. I'm not going to make an ass out of myself. I'm just going to stand here and, you know, cover it, basically. And he was absolutely fine with that. And so I got chatting to the on-camera personality for Fox 13, I think it is, in Vegas. And we're talking shit. And I asked him, I said, do you think the Raiders are going to send any representatives here to the memorial to pay their respects? And he said, I don't know. And then I said, I mean, it's not like the owner, Mark Davis, is going to show up, is he? He's not, you know, why would he show up? And he agreed with me. And then literally 2 seconds later, an Escalade pulls in right up to the front of the chapel. And Mark Davis gets
in. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And the guy's like, were you just saying that? Did you know he was coming?
Did you know he was
coming?
Yeah.
Were you trying to put me off? You didn't want my my video guy to get any images of him getting in? I'm like, dude, I just said there's no way it's going to happen. And literally 2 seconds later,
wow,
out pops Mark Davis with his bowl haircut.
That's crazy.
And puts on his suit jacket and walks into the ceremony. And he was actually there an hour before it started and before any of her family were there either as well. So he was the first person there. And he actually stayed for the whole thing. And then
what was he doing there the whole time before they all showed up?
He went straight in.
So you didn't see you didn't see inside?
No, we weren't allowed to go anywhere near the inside. We were basically stood in a corner of a parking lot very far away. So he showed up, was there for the whole time, and he went to the burial afterwards as well, which surprised me. You know, he had no obligation to do that. It wasn't his fault that his players was out there, you know, drinking and partying. Well, it's accident.
It's kind of his fault, not intentionally his fault.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it isn't Mark Davis's fault. But, you know, this guy is a billionaire. I just wasn't expecting him to spend that much of his day there. But, you know, I do give him my utmost respect for going there and showing his support to the family. You know, it was, like I said, this guy's a billionaire. He, you know, he's got better things to do with his time, but, you know, respect for him for going and attending both of these events.
Well, it's his fault that Ruggs had a high performance vehicle. Without Davis's money, he wouldn't be able to afford it.
Yeah, you know what I heard as well?
Maybe they should limit the speed of their cars for the first 2 years of their careers.
I heard this from one of the journalists, I think, that was there. I'm not sure which station he was from, but he said that, and he didn't say if the Raiders did this or not, but multiple NFL teams actually put on like a car service for their players if they are going to go out and party so that they don't get into trouble driving, drink driving, or anything like that.
We've been saying this for the longest time about celebrities and why do they drive anywhere? Because like Kate Beckinsale is one of those where she gets driven wherever she goes. She never has to worry about anything. And when you get to a certain level of celebrity, why would you ever drive anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're going to go out and party, you can afford an Uber. I mean, you can afford a limo. You can afford any of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, this guy wants to drive his high-performance vehicle. Just a week before, he was posting videos with his girlfriend in the car.
Yeah.
She was screaming and yelling because he was driving too fast. Same type of thing.
Well, and she was in the car when he rear-ended Tinter as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we all know that the woman also burned to death in her car, which is...
I know. She was heard screaming.
Yeah.
Which is just...
Just adds so much to it that it's just... It's one thing if he hit her and she died instantly, whatever, you know. But he... And the girlfriend, because I think he was knocked unconscious for a minute, right? Yeah. And she like brought him, she was holding him alongside the road or whatever. I mean, there was a few videos of it of the people that were just filming over the wall right there.
Yeah.
And the word is that she was screaming, you know, while she was being burned alive.
Absolutely.
And that is just, that's been sticking with me the whole time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was grim. But, you know, it was just a quick in and out job for me. I met a reporter friend earlier in the morning before the events and had Cracker Barrel for breakfast, one of my
Oh, there you
favorites.
go. Nice. Back to the original
So
grind.
that was good. But yeah, just a quick in and out trip. I think I was there for 20 hours, got the pictures, and got on the next plane home. And I haven't worked since. And I'm now off from now until Monday. So I've got another 6 days off.
Why all the off time? Is this accrued vacation time
Yeah,
or
we get quite a bit of vacation
taking a little Thanksgiving?
being staff. So I've got to use a bunch of days up, basically.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Oh man. Oh, quickly,
Yeah.
before we get into your amazing pictures that you shot this week. We've not spoken about this yet. Brittany is free.
Oh, yes. We have to touch on that.
Brittany is free.
I want to say that we're part of the reason why
I
she's free.
love it.
I know there's a lot of people that feel like they're the reason why she was free. I think we have a 0.006% contribution to this. But yes, good for her. I was reading a post from her today that had it was like an adult feet and then little baby feet next to her, and she's asking her fans on Instagram if she should have another child.
Yeah, should I have a baby girl?
I mean, I'm happy you're out of your conservatorship, Brittany, but I have a feeling that the next chapter in this whole thing is going to be way more than we expect.
Yeah. I'm excited to start working Brittany again, like properly.
I
She's
mean,
there's going to be lots of fun and games with her.
I know Sam's ready to have a baby with her.
Well, yeah, absolutely. He's ready to hopefully he's not going to pull a K-Fed and just start collecting 60 grand a month off
Of
of
course he will. Yes, that's all he's
her.
there for.
Jeez. But no, I saw something from Brittany today as well. What did she say? She said a lot, basically. I can't remember. But she actually seemed more of a person and not like a robot
Oh, okay.
on her Insta. Oh, you know what she said? She said she's happy. She can see cash again. I guess she wasn't allowed an ATM card or cash, so she was happy with that. And she said how she is happy to have her car keys back again, which is weird because about 18 months ago I photographed her driving and saw her driving. So she has been driving.
But maybe they held the keys and they gave them to her
Or
when
maybe
she needed
they
it.
put them in the car for her, started it, and
Yeah,
just sat next to her.
just
I don't know.
exactly.
But she
The thing's
is,
not a push button anyway, but,
right, exactly. But she's out and about again. I think she went to Catch, the trendy restaurant in LA this week, and had her first alcoholic beverage for 14 years. Some
Champagne, right?
Champs.
Yes.
Yeah, as she wasn't allowed to drink under this conservatorship. So that's interesting. There are definitely going to be some fun sets of pictures coming out of Britney in the coming months. I'm sure of
I
it.
think so. Like it's everybody's talking about how the whole conservatorship's done. Have we heard the last of Britney now because of that? No, I think it's just starting.
Yeah, me too.
The
Me
next
too.
chapter for
Me
sure.
too. Britney, the next chapter. You know what? I know there's paps working at the moment. There have been for a while. And these are the guys that are just taking the car shots as she comes driving past. I really hope that stops because you're not going to get a good set. She's just going to get pissed off with people taking these car shots and like not go and do anything. And also these guys are pretty much exposing themselves as, you know, being there. And if Britney doesn't think anybody's there's going to be great sets of pictures to be got.
Well, she needs to do what Brad Pitt does. She needs to have security that she could trust that will tweak their efforts to who Britney is. And they just need to come out ahead of her. They need to talk to the paps. They need to say, listen, Britney's going to come out. She's going to do this. She's going to do this. These are the only pictures you're going to get. And then you guys are going to leave us alone, or else we're going to make it a nightmare for you to get other pictures. Nobody chases Brad Pitt around.
No.
Nobody gets him coming out of his gate and then follows him around everywhere they go. It's all coordinated. I mean, they do, but it's not a chase situation
No.
where if it's Britney alone and then the paps following her, it's going to be just like it was
Yeah,
back in 07.
it could absolutely turn that way, and I hope it doesn't. Hopefully,
Because
she
she's
will.
gonna because she's gonna she's gonna be weird about it.
Yeah, hopefully, she will get a decent security team that has their head screwed on, and know how to deal with these terrible savages.
I mean, I really hope so, because seriously, she's going to need that. You know, she's going to need that support. She can't just go out and deal with the Paps like she always used to. It's been 14 years. I mean, she hasn't dealt with Paps in 14 years herself, you know?
No.
So, I mean, who knows? Maybe she'll start dating another one.
I'll have to ask my wife if I can have a hall pass.
Ugh, jeez.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little cringy for me.
So, on that note, what have you been up to, mate? I've not spoken to you for a while, as I haven't been working too much. I've been having a lot of family time.
I haven't been able to do my check-in calls in the morning and what we're going to do. But I haven't really got much either. I've been on and off, similar to you. I went out last week, and there was some info on a TV show that I've watched. I'm not sure if we've talked about it on What You're Watching, but it's an Apple TV Plus show called Physical.
Physical. Physical. All again. Physical. I've not heard of it.
Yeah. And at first, when I saw the shooting of it last year or a few months ago or whatever, and when the show came out, I thought it was kind of a docu-series about Olivia Newton-John.
Okay.
And how she started out, but it's not. It's a total kind of comedy drama about a woman who's kind of in a weird part of her marriage. She's kind of in a dead-end job. She doesn't really have much going on. She's got an eating disorder. And she finds this, kind of second life through aerobics. And then she starts an aerobics empire.
Okay, interesting.
And it's actually a really good show. It's done really well. It's written really well. And Rose Byrne, I'm a big fan of hers. I like what she does. And she's the main character. And I've only got about halfway through the first season, actually. I saw the second season, some info on it coming out. And I went to go work on it. It's in an area that I've shot many things before, so I know how to work it. And I get there, I'm waiting for a decent opportunity. I'm trying to get a number one frequency because I never worked this before.
Right.
I'm trying to get an angle of where they're shooting, because I know where they're shooting because I've seen the first season, and they shoot at this place a lot.
Oh, okay. That's good, though.
And I know the area really well, so I know exactly where I can go to get the shot.
Nice. Love it.
I start walking to a position to just check it out, to see what I'm doing. It wasn't a production guy. It wasn't a PA. It wasn't the AD. It wasn't the director. It was a background guy that stops me. He's holding a surfboard. He's a background guy that's walking back and forth with a surfboard. He goes, "Hey, bro, you're in the shot. You're in the shot."
Oh, shut up.
And I know I'm not in the shot because I've already got the frequency and I can hear what they're saying. They're between takes. I'm just moving to a position where I can move in and see what's going on without being on camera. The guy stops me.
What the fuck? Who does he think he is?
And I go, "Oh, really? Okay." I'm like, "Well, where's the frame line? You know where the frame line is?" Yeah. He goes, "What do you mean? What are we talking?" I'm like, "Listen, I'm trying to get out of the frame. I'm just walking by. Just, you know."
You were on foot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I move out of the way. It didn't matter. So I sit there, I watch it a little bit, and I realize Rose Byrne's not on set.
But are there any other stars in this show?
Not really.
Okay.
No. I mean, maybe the stars that are on the show right now, since the show's going into its second season, maybe they will sell. But it's just Rose Byrne. But her car is there in the scene. I can see it in the background, of the scene. So I just wait around pretty much the next 2 hours or so, waiting to hear if they're going to call her up to set. I don't know where the base camp is at this point. And I realize that it's the husband that's in the show, her husband that's in the show, driven the car to where it is. So I go back down to the base camp. They go to lunch. I wait around a little bit more. I go by the trailers. I see her trailer there. And I see a car, blue Tesla, parked right next to her trailer.
Okay, so car.
So I'm like, great, there you go. She's probably there. Let me wait around, see if they call her to the next scene, right? Next scene, no mention of Rose at all. I'm there for 5 hours.
Oh, mate.
And not a word about her at all.
No RB? There's no RB?
Nothing. No RB at all. So I end up leaving because I'm like, okay, I'm done. This is ridiculous. But I do have info for the next day. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll just come back tomorrow. She'll be here tomorrow. because this is not something that I want to work on for multiple
no,
days.
No, you want to get it, see if it sells, and then, you know, gauge
exactly.
it.
Well, but I've seen the show. I want to get her in her aerobic outfit.
She's in, like, spandex the
doing
whole time.
Some sort of a thing. I mean, if I can get her doing other stuff, that's fine too. But I want to get her in her aerobic outfit doing what she does in the workouts. So I come back the next day. My info doesn't have anything. It's from 7 a.m. to like 12 or 11:59 p.m. You know, so it's like, I don't know when she's really going to get there. This is just the call times. So I'm there about 9 o'clock and people are barely anywhere. There's just like 5 people there on the set.
Ugh.
And it's so far away that I'm not just going to like pop off and go somewhere else and try and find something else. I have to sit there or I give up for the day. So I sit there, I wait. Maybe 2 hours go by. I see more people start showing up, backgrounds start showing up, and all the backgrounds dressed in beach stuff.
Oh, here we go.
So I wait around a little bit more. I see the blue Tesla pull up. But it's between the trailers. I can't really see it from the angle that I'm at.
Hmm.
So I see it pull up, and I go around to get an angle to see if it's her. I don't see anything. Nothing at all. And she has a call sheet on the front of her door that's taped to the front of her door of her trailer. So I can't see anybody get out of the Tesla because I can't get over to the angle in time. I come back around, I look, and the call sheet's gone off the front of her door, right? Fuck. So I'm like, okay, she's there.
Yeah.
She's here now, right?
She's got to be.
So I start hearing them call, okay, everybody's loading up. We're going to set. The set's farther away. So I hop on. I follow a van. I follow it down the street, over the bridges, all the way over down into Long Beach.
Okay. But hang on. So you couldn't take a frame of a call sheet on her door to like see?
No, too far away.
Oh, okay.
Way too far away. I'm just looking at her door just to see what's going on, not to get a frame. So I follow everything over there, and the whole entire production moves down to Long Beach, and they're out on the beach in the spot where she does her aerobic workouts.
Okay, here we go.
So I'm like, yes, cool. So I pull up. The background gets out. They're setting them all up. They're like, first team's on the way. Yes, here we go.
There you go.
So I just wait around. First team's pulling up. I look at the car, the people getting out of the van. She's not there.
Oh, no.
The blonde in the show, who's her kind of partner in the show, gets out of the van.
Mm.
And she starts going over to the production area. She puts on roller skates. And so she goes out to where they're out on the beach. It's just this big cement, like, circle area out there. And they start talking about how they're setting up this scene about her doing an aerobic roller skating scene with the boyfriend who also films Rose's aerobic workouts. But they're filming this other girl who's really a nobody at this point, you know? So I'm thinking, Jesus. So I go out and I get the shots anyway. I get some shots anyway. And nobody sees me out there. I just shoot it. I'm there 10 minutes and then I leave because I don't hear anything about Rose. And they're talking about how they're going to move back to a house to do night stuff after this, right?
God.
So I can only imagine these shots, and we'll put these shots up on the Instagram, but only if they were Rose Byrne.
Mate,
in roller skates, doing an aerobic workout with roller skates, right?
So are you going to keep an eye on this set's shoot schedule and try and get down there again at another point in hopes of getting the elusive Rose?
Well, one thing I did at the end of that day is when I went back by the base camp on my way home, I went and jumped in a dumpster.
I love it. Nothing.
Which I'm not really actually jumping in a dumpster. I'm just reaching into a trash can where I open up the trash can and I see call sheets in there.
We've all been there.
I pull out some of the call sheets and I see where they're going to be shooting the next week. Because this was Friday.
Yeah.
Right? So I see where they're going to be shooting the next week. And I see it's Santa Anita.
Oh, fuck.
Racetrack.
That. Yeah. Nah.
Okay.
Too far.
Too far. And
you can't do it either.
Anita racetrack, it's all blocked off. Yeah. They're going to be inside. It's like a stadium.
Yeah.
You know, you go in there and it's all blocked off around the outside. You can't get anything.
Ray Donovan shoots a lot there.
Yeah.
The Showtime show.
Yeah. The last thing I shot there was Johnny Depp in something. I forget what it was. But I shot Johnny Depp there.
Oh, interesting.
And it was inside the stadium.
Yeah.
So I know there's a way, but that was 10 years ago,
fucking
you know?
Hell.
So I go out there anyway.
Have you told a story about that before? Is that where there was like a security guard asleep?
No, that was on the Tupac
thing,
I think. Yeah. Oh, no, it was. You're right.
Yeah, I thought it was. I heard it on the podcast.
Yes. It was. Yeah, exactly. And we sweated in the car while we were trying to get it. Yeah,
it's funny.
So you can go back and listen to that one. But so I go, I get out Monday morning, I leave early, get out to Santa Anita.
Oh, you've done it.
I went out and did it.
Oh shit.
I went out and did it, and I could just drive right in.
Mm-hmm.
There was no security, nice. No nothing. I drove right in, to where the people take care of the horses,
yeah.
Stuff like that, that area. I already had the frequency from the day before, so I'm listening, and I see that they're walking the cast through a little gate into the set, which is, I could just pull up, and I could just wait, and I can get it. And no more than maybe 10 minutes, Rose, they say, oh, Rose has got to go 10-1. And they were expecting her to go 10-1, like, at the restrooms right next to the set.
Yeah.
But she ended up walking back to her trailer.
Okay.
So when she comes back to set from the trailer, I get her full outfit.
Full aerobic outfit.
Full aerobic outfit. And she goes to set. But one of the crew guys is kind of blocking the shot. They walked with her.
They didn't see you, right?
Because everybody's got to... No, no one saw me. Because everybody's got to kiss the actor's asses.
Of course they have.
When she walked back to her trailer, she was alone. Nobody even cared, right?
Yeah.
But then when they call her back to set, she comes back to set. And she's just like... And they're all just crowding around her, you know? And they block the shot. So I'm like, I need a clean shot of her. The first shots were kind of clean. I could deal with them, but I needed something better. So I waited for the next time she were to go back to her trailer, which was no more than maybe 20 minutes. She goes back to her trailer, and I finally get the shots. So I leave. I'm done for the day.
Yeah, you've got it. You've nailed
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So I'm leaving. I'm driving out of the, you know, driving out of the stadium.
Yeah.
And I kind of, as I'm driving out, I'm looking as I'm kind of going along the road, and I can see this little gap from so far away. I could see this little gap, and I could see her. She's up on a stage, doing an aerobic workout up on the stage.
Oh, no shit. That's cool.
But I have to, like, get in there, to be able to get to this little angle that I can see something. So I pull up. There's a security guard that's sitting there, and I just go, hey, I'm with Santa Anita Racetrack. I'm like, I'm just going in here to, and he's like, oh, yeah, just go ahead.
Love it.
So I pull up, and I'm honestly like 100 feet from where the security guard let me in. And I look in front of me, and there's this gap right in front of me that I can just get it with the infiltrator. So I pull up real quick, pop my passenger window down, infiltrator, zoom way in. It was like a Saving Mr. Banks thing that I did before at the Disneyland entrance.
Yeah.
It was like through a gate, through another gate, and then through a window. But it's a perfect shot of her doing this workout.
That's so funny. And you got video and shit as well, right?
So I got a video of it as well.
And most important question, this is like 4 days of your life now.
Ugh.
Did it sell?
It hasn't sold yet, but it went out earlier today. So let's see if it does.
Okay, I just actually Googled her to see if I could see it. Yeah, and I didn't.
Yet.
So that worried me.
Nothing
which
yet.
Which is why I had to ask you.
Well, they're great pictures of her, if you like Rose Byrne. She's even got the earpiece, you know, with the microphone. So we'll see if it's a rare, you know, shot of Rose Byrne. You've never seen her like this before unless you've seen the show.
I'm sure it'll go somewhere.
So it's got to go somewhere. I don't know about the video. We'll see. Video's weird these days, but we'll see.
I look forward to seeing that.
But that's all I got this week. So I spent 4 days on this stupid thing.
Jesus Christ. Well, hopefully it does make, and you've not just wasted your time and your gas as well.
But you know what?
Santa Anita is a stretch.
But you know what? I never saw another path the whole time, which is all I care about these days.
That's nice, isn't it? It's always nice to know that you're getting something to yourself,
that Hemsworth stuff from a couple of, you know, last week or whatever, that just killed me.
Well, when you started talking about roller skates then, that like I was having flashbacks to some savagery.
Every time I see roller skates or rollerblades now, I think of Thor on rollerblades and I think of the shots that could have been.
The shot that never was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Incredible. Something I know, like you've seen call sheets and you've had info for this show before. Something I've been watching, I guess we'll do a quick what you're watching before we hit some news. I've started watching the latest season of Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO Max because I found a password from an old friend to get into it. That you have info, right, for Curb Your Enthusiasm every now and then.
Yeah.
And like a huge part of this season, like Vince Vaughn has been in every episode pretty much.
Oh, really?
And like Kaylee Cuoco has been in the last two episodes as well.
Oh, wow.
So like there are way more celeb cameos in this like latest season. So I don't know if you do get the info. It might be worth working on it.
We talked about Larry David, and when I was shooting him a few months ago, when I was on my way out to a set, and I saw they were shooting Curbed along the way, and I thought I'd check it on the way back, and it was only Larry and
Jeff.
Yeah. Because I always want to stop by and see if there's one of those cameos going on. And I've honestly stopped by maybe five times this season when they were filming. I haven't given it much time, but just to hear what's going on, if there's a little cameo that's popping up, and I haven't heard anything.
They're popping up, man.
Man, I knew it.
And this show, it's the funniest fucking show on TV.
Really? I bet it is.
I die. I don't laugh at much American TV or much American humor. But this show just fucking has me rolling.
I love that show.
It's so funny.
I don't know why I don't watch it more. I got to get into it again.
Yeah, it's so, so funny.
Yeah, that's
great. And for any of you guys that are listening in England, if you can access this show somehow, I think you'll really like it as well. It has me dying.
Yeah,
it's
it does.
Fucking funny.
It's just, it's situations that everybody can relate to, and it's comedy that everybody can agree with.
Larry David's a genius. I'd love to photograph him, even if it is just a dirty pap set of him like doing anything. Like, he's a fucking legend.
Yeah.
The guy's so funny.
You know where I papped him one time? During shooting?
Mm-mm.
Was in a Williams-Sonoma.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I shot him through because they have like racks of kitchenware and stuff like that. I shot him through because the place was still open while they were shooting. They were just shooting over a little corner.
Oh, no shit.
And I shot through like three racks.
Wow.
To get him in there. Oh, that's pictures funny. Did nothing, but it was still fun to do.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the exterior shots, it's in Burbank, sorry. It's all in Westwood and, fuck me.
The West Side.
Hang on.
Palisades. Hang on. Brentwood.
A lot of the exterior shots, it's all in Westwood and Brentwood. That's where he seems to spend most of his time, most of his funny outings. So next time you come across that set, I think it's definitely worth getting it on your radio and giving it a little bit of time.
You know what's worth doing is a Larry David celebrity net worth.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Oh,
I've got
gosh.
It queued up real quick right here. Okay. Have you seen it? When you do it? No, I have not seen it.
LD.
I have not seen it, I will guess.
It's in the hundreds. Obviously, he's the creator of Seinfeld. Larry David is worth $300 million.
God, I was going to say that. The number that came to mind for me right off the bat was 210.
Okay.
So, but I have a feeling he's worth more than that. I have a feeling he's in the three or maybe even fours because he's like that.
I reckon I've nailed it.
No, I think we did do a celebrity net worth with him a while back.
Maybe.
Because remember he was talking about raising money for the caddies.
Oh, that's right. So we definitely have.
We did do it, but I don't remember what it is.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast today.
Yeah, let's just do it. 400 mil.
Yeah, okay. That's funny.
And celebrity net worth, because that was the original. Yeah, celebrity net worth has him at 400 mil as well. That's funny.
Like the listeners are screaming, you've done this already.
Dude, it's 400. Yeah, they're totally going nuts.
Yeah, our memories are both awful. We're old.
Speaking of what you're watching, if we're doing what you're watching,
I've
watched a lot.
You always do, mate. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you find time.
I don't know how I found the time either.
I'm usually sat on boring doorsteps all day, and I still don't have the time to watch much stuff.
Yeah, I kind of... Because all these movies that I've been wanting to see lately all came out like right at one weekend. So my kids didn't have any sports on the Saturday. And I just said, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to watch movies from Friday evening into Saturday.
I love that.
So I came across the new Bond.
I want to see it so badly.
No Time to Die.
I saw it this week. Not the movie. I saw that it was on Amazon Prime, right? Was it Prime?
I don't know.
I saw it on Prime. But they wanted $19.99 to watch it. And I do want to see it, but I don't want to spend that much to see it quite yet. I didn't want to spend $19.99 on it.
Well, I didn't want to spend $19.99 on it either, but I wanted to see it that bad.
Yeah.
And I was, I was bummed that I didn't see it in the theaters.
Right, you're a theater guy. Why didn't you see it in the theater?
Because I just couldn't find the time. It was, it's one thing when I could watch it at night. Or at home, but to get to a theater, and especially because my wife wanted to watch it, she's got a weird schedule, you know, the kids, all that kind of stuff. So I just rented it. I figured we could all watch it. I could get my money's worth out of it.
You know what? $20 isn't actually that bad. It's probably $20 to go to the movies.
If you're going
to
watch it with you and your wife,
yeah,
there's $20 right there, at least.
Mate.
You know what I mean?
I think I might watch it tonight.
So it's, and it's definitely worth it.
It's long, right? Isn't it 2.5 hours
long? It is, but it's not. It you don't feel it at all. There's plenty of action, plenty of suspense, plenty of everything in it. It's honestly, it's one of the best movies I've seen, Bond movies I've seen.
This is Daniel Craig's last Bond as well, right?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't know.
I think so.
We'll see.
Yeah. How is Rami Malek in the movie?
Awesome.
Is he?
Everybody is awesome in this movie.
Wow.
My 13-year-old daughter says it's one of her favorite movies.
Hang on. Isn't Ana de Armas in this movie?
Ana de Armas is in it, and she's one of my favorite parts.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. She was such a delight in the part that she was at. She's not in it for very long.
Right.
But the part that she is in it, she's great.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. If it's a spoiler, don't tell me. Does she hook up with Bond?
I can't tell you.
So that's a yes. Interesting.
It is not a yes, and it is not a no. Okay. But it is nonstop action. There's barely any dialogue. The dialogue is very short. And I watched it 3 times.
Wow.
Because I watched it myself.
Yeah.
On the Friday afternoon that I got home early from work, and I'd already rented it, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch it. And then my wife got mad at me because I watched it without her. So I had to watch it with her the next day. And then my brother-in-law came over that night, and he was upset that we all watched it without him. So I had to watch it a third
time. That's so funny. Yeah. I have one more question about the movie.
Go ahead.
Does Bond drink a tiny Heine?
He does not drink a tiny Heine. At least I don't. I mean, I watched it 3 times. I should know this. But I don't think he drank a tiny Heine. He had a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
I love that.
I think twice.
Okay, I'm going to watch it very soon. I'll watch it before the next podcast.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely worth it. And the ending is fucking great.
Did the movie feel like 2.5 hours?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I'd say it felt like 2.
Okay.
Yeah. It was perfect. I watched it 3 times. So
holy shit.
If it was really that long, I would not have watched it 3 times. Another movie I ended up watching, you know, it's the next installment of my Marvel road to excellence, is Shang-Chi.
Ah.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
That's on Disney Plus, right? And you don't have to pay an extra fee for it.
No, exactly. So I've been waiting for this to come out. I didn't really want to see it in the theater. I didn't care.
Mm.
I watched it, you know, at home, and it was great. Anyway, it's a good movie. It definitely sets up some new Marvel stuff that's going to come out in the future. In the end, stay around and watch the
of course
the extra credit scenes.
This Marvel universe is just going to go on forever, isn't it? Like, they can build shows off of movies off of shows, and just keep going and going.
Yeah,
and going.
It's just crossing like, over, crossing
if you
over,
have a job over. Within this Marvel franchise, you're set for life.
Favreau.
Yeah.
I mean, Favreau has the ultimate job in the world.
Yeah, he's printing money.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing all Star Wars stuff now, but he's still part of the Marvel Universe as well. But yeah, so Shang-Chi was good. It's definitely worth watching. It's not the greatest of movies. It's just there for the next installment of the Marvel Universe and stuff, and it sets up for something bigger later. And then the third movie I got to, Jedi, was, I think I heard somewhere that they're calling this one of the most expensive movies, maybe?
Yeah, I think we spoke about it. I think, didn't Netflix spend $100 million on it? It's Netflix's most expensive movie.
Oh, it's Netflix's most expensive. That's what it is. It's not a studio's most expensive movie. Okay, then that makes a little more sense. Was Red Notice.
Right, and I only know who is in this because my wife clicked on Netflix just now before I came over to the studio, and the trailer popped up. So I saw it was The Rock, and it is Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Right. And I saw a brief scene of them in a jail. And I think I read somewhere that Netflix spent $200 million on the movie, actually.
Yeah. $200 million, because you're bringing it up right now. I'm seeing that they do it. And then what's her name, too, is in it. Wonder Woman.
Your girl Gal Gadot.
Yeah, Gal Gadot.
Gadot.
Everybody thought it was Gal Gadot, including me in the beginning, but I think she clarified it in an interview that it's Gadot.
Wow.
Anyway, she's in it as well. So you got these three bigs that are in this movie, okay? But, and the movie itself is not that bad. Extremely predictable.
Really?
Okay? It's just one of those movies that you throw on because you want to see The Rock do The Rock. You want to see Ryan Reynolds do Ryan Reynolds. And you want to see Gal Gadot do Gal Gadot. They did not stray away from their characters at all. They're exactly who you think that they should be in this movie.
Right.
Okay? It's an art thief type of movie. Yeah. You know, they all play art thieves. They're all kind of playing each other and they all double cross each other. You know, that kind of thing. But there's one thing that really bothered me about this movie, Jedi.
Okay.
So, Ryan Reynolds, right? He plays an art thief who goes through all this stuff to steal something. And then he gets away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sails back to his house on this island somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It looks like Thailand or something like that.
Okay.
And he's sailing in and he sails onto this beach, right? He steps off the boat and he goes into his house, which looks like this just, you know, $10 million mansion that's all tucked into the jungle, you know, all high tech. Like he does this little code thing to come in the door and it's all, you know, and he comes in and he walks right over to his bar or it's like the center.
Oh,
it's
this, come on.
It's the centerpiece. No it's the centerpiece way. Of his kitchen. Right.
Okay.
And what's sitting there waiting for him?
Let me guess.
Yes.
Avion gin.
Aviation.
There gin. It is.
But check this out. I know, right? Exactly. So
fucking Reynolds' own brand of gin.
Oh my God. It's the worst. So, but they're showing a close-up of the bottle, right? But the bottle is turned around, so you can't see the label. You could just see the outside of the bottle, like they've turned it, because it's a close-up of the bottle, and they're moving the camera to where he's coming into the front door. And then he walks in, and he pours himself a glass of gin, no ice, not on the rocks, just a glass of gin. Who the fuck walks in after a hard day of work anywhere at all and pours themselves a neat gin?
Fucking
nobody.
Hell. That's so disgusting. It's
fucking disgusting.
Do
right?
Do you think it was written in his contract that he had to like show his own brand of gin?
It gets even worse.
Oh God.
It gets even worse. So a scene later, it's more of a pullback scene where they show The Rock. Because he's there too.
Oh, fuck off. There are tequilas in
no,
it.
No. Hold on. Oh. So they're all there in the thing. So, but you can still see the gin still sitting on the bar. And the label is turned back towards the camera. Like they were, like he was purposely saying, oh, I don't want it to be obvious in this original shot that I'm putting my alcohol in here shamelessly like a fucking tacky prick. You know? But then in this far scene, I'll do that because it's not obvious that it's this fucking shit. God. You know what I mean? Like just total fucking shit. And then later on, when The Rock is at the bar doing his thing, he's drinking his tequila.
Fuck.
In this thing.
Off.
It's a fucking cash grab for
That's
their fucking...
so disgusting. I can't believe it. Quick, talking of cash grab, I just looked up how much each of them were paid for this movie.
Oh my God.
Gal, The Rock,
so this is why
and
cost
Ryan. Well, we know that the movie cost $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to rank in order who you think got paid the most out of The Rock, Gal, and Ryan.
Okay.
And I've looked it up, so I know.
Okay, I'm just going by just pure screen time of who got paid more.
Yeah.
Because I know it was probably an argument or a toss-up of who, what, and they probably settled on, okay, who's on the screen more?
Yeah, movies are expensive to make, and so it's not like they're paid, the $200 million is split between the three of them. Like there's other expenses and costs. So I don't want you to say, okay, they got paid, you know, 80, 60 and 40 or whatever.
Adding
up to 200 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not going to add up to 200 million because there are other costs.
Exactly. Of course. There's 20 million of production costs and then the rest is all just them.
I'm not telling.
No, I'm going to say, because I'm trying to remember in the beginning of the movie now, like who was on first, who was the first one on. And I believe it was Ryan Reynolds. So I'm going to say Ryan Reynolds got paid the most, The Rock second, and then Gal Gadot third.
You're wrong.
Oh, no.
They all got paid the same.
They all got paid the same. Okay, you're right. Because it has to be equal now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Especially in a movie like that.
Do you want to guess how much they got each?
$20 million each.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm just, yeah. That was a guess. Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems the going rate now of...
$20 million.
Yeah. If anybody's going to do it, like if you're over $20 million, it seems like you're asking for too much. And if you're under $20 million, you're just not as good as you could be. Yeah.
$20 million.
Yeah, a piece.
I'd never work a day in my life again.
Oh, and they so set up for a second one, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
There is a sequel because I read it just now.
Oh, okay.
The director got paid $10 million, and that was to write a sequel as well. Okay. Or the writer, director, whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that seems about right. Yeah. But it was a total predictable movie. It is a one-time deal. Like, I would not watch it again.
Yeah.
It's worth it to watch once, but that's it.
Wowzers.
And that's it for my what you're watching. But, you know, there is something that I'm looking forward to watching that kind of sparked my interest when I heard what was going on here.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it Rust?
No. I heard that's not coming out.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to.
No.
I don't think it's going to be.
No, it's definitely not coming out. But no, it's King Richard that that I shot for those couple of months with Will Smith, you know, about the Serena Williams, the Williams sisters.
Comes out next week.
Comes out next week. And I heard recently that Serena and Venus were supposed to be co-producers.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which doesn't surprise you. But they wouldn't be producers until after they saw the finished movie.
I don't think it works like that.
That's what I'm saying. How does that work? So they all fronted all this cash to put it out there, and then they're like, oh, as long as it's good enough, we'll pay you back?
Yeah, that seems fucked.
Or they just wouldn't put their name on it as producers. So now they're gonna get royalties?
But they have to put money in.
As a producer. If you're a producer, you have to produce the backing for the movie. That's what a producer does.
That's so weird. So, like, did the studio front the money and then the sisters are like, if we like it, we're going to pay you back?
Yeah. Or?
Or if we hate it.
Or now if you're a producer, you're just someone who says, I'll put my name on it and then I'll take everything that comes with it. But... I just don't get how that works.
I have no idea. And especially as the movie is going straight to HBO Max, I mean, how much money is there going to be on the back end of it anyway?
I don't know.
Because it still comes out in theaters, doesn't it? HBO Max has the movie for the first 30 days, and then it disappears from HBO Max.
Yes.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. I don't know how that works, and maybe someone out there can explain it to me, but it's just weird that this is where we're at in movies, where people could just say, I'm not going to produce it until after the movie's made.
If it's amazing, I'll do it. Yeah, sure.
Very weird, very weird.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's just do a couple of news things. What do you think? Do a couple of news things and we're out?
Sounds good to me, mate.
Is there anything in the news that you wanted to talk about?
I haven't looked at a single thing.
Okay.
Because I'm not working. When I'm not working, I try and keep away from it and just focus my mind on relaxation and family time. Okay. When I'm working, I am on. I am checking website after website after website. Twitter, Instagram, and all that kind of bollocks. When I'm off, I am off. So no, I don't know what's in the news.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things that I saw. I'll start with this one because I don't want it to be a total downer for the end of the show. But I did see just the continuation of the Travis Scott story and what happened with Travis Scott.
Okay.
The 9-year-old boy that we had talked about in that thing.
Oh, Did you see that
he had died?
Yeah, terrible.
He was on
life support?
Yeah, ICU. He was in the ICU for forever, and he eventually succumbed to his injuries. And I read that the parents of the kid were looking for a lawsuit now.
There's going to be so many.
Which kind of bothered me because, number one, there's no reason why a 9-year-old should be at a Travis Scott concert.
Yeah, he said that in the last pod.
I read the article. The father of the boy said that the boy was just a huge fan of Travis Scott.
What? I mean...
That's bad parenting.
How old straight off the bat. How old's your son?
9.
Does he listen to Travis Scott?
He doesn't listen to anything remotely close to Travis Scott.
Yeah.
He doesn't listen to anybody who cusses on the radio or anything like that. He listens to The Score. Is about that. The edgiest that he gets right now.
Okay.
And The Score is just, they make all these ballads and hype music for like the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
And shit like that. You know, champion this, champion that, you know, that kind of thing. And I was going to take him to a Score concert, which was recently in October. And it was at this venue that I knew, it was over in Echo Park, and I knew it wasn't going to be, you know, it was going to be a little weird. Like I didn't trust it being 9-year-old friendly, you know?
Right, yeah.
And it was The Score. So of course it would have been, I just didn't trust the neighborhood that it was in, you know?
Yeah.
So this guy taking his kid to a Travis Scott concert, And I don't know if you read the article, but the kid was on his shoulders.
Oh, God.
And the dad got pushed, and he lost consciousness and then dropped his son to the ground.
Fuck.
And the kid's injuries were head smashed, lungs smashed, like spine broken, all that stuff from everybody trampling him.
No.
And the father didn't even know. No. He woke up, and he couldn't find him anywhere. And he finally went over to a police officer. Nobody can find him, and then someone called him later after they found the son underneath all the crap.
I'm about to start crying. Like, I've got goosebumps.
It's That's crazy, horrible. Right? It's nuts.
Horrible.
He should have never been there. These guys should not get any money for this bullshit because he should have never been there in the first place. And you know, that's just bad parenting, and that's the parents' fault for why that kid died. As far as
so,
I'm concerned,
so
that's,
so sad, you know. So sad.
So there's one person that I don't think you owe Travis Scott, but I think you owe for everybody else.
So sad,
mate. But in a little bit brighter news, DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled!
DJ Khaled. We like to make fun of DJ Khaled around here every once in a while because he does nothing.
He just yells his name every now and then.
What does he yell?
DJ Khaled!
There's something specific that he yells before any of his produced songs. Another one.
Oh, another one? DJ Khaled!
Another one.
Another That's what one. He does. Yeah.
So he's coming out with a wing company, and it's called Another Wing.
What? Why? What? You know what? I like chicken wings, so if they're good, I will probably try them.
Well, and they're delivery only. They're ghost made. You know, they're ghost kitchen made.
Oh, okay.
So you can order it wherever you are, wherever they offer it. And it'll come to you, but there's no restaurant or anything like that, which I thought was pretty cool, actually. And I guess there's a few companies doing that these days. But DJ Khaled, let's do a quick celebrity net worth on DJ Khaled.
I'm about to order some of his wings to the studio.
Do you want to look it up?
I'm Googling his wings at the moment. Okay. So. Oh, you can order them already?
Yeah, it's up. It's up and running.
Wow. It's in Hollywood.
You want to put a guess on his net worth?
It's less than LD.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, absolutely. DJ Khaled is worth $73 million.
$73 million. Dollars.
You can't actually order wings yet.
I'm going to go above that. I'm going to say he's worth $100
million. Wow.
Okay.
Incredible. Have you looked it up?
I'm going to hit it right now. How much did you say?
73.
Whew. I got to go to celebrity net worth because that's what we go with. 40 million.
Oh, okay.
Wait, no. That's not the same thing. I don't know why I just did that. 75.
Oh, there you go. This is weird. I'm on the Grubhub version of the website and all you can order is extra celery or sauce or beverages. It doesn't actually, you can't order wings.
Did you go to Another Wing?
I'm on his fucking Another Wing by DJ Khaled delivery menu.
Oh.
I'm hungry for wings now.
Maybe it's not completely up and ready.
I mean, I can order celery. We're going to get some celery to the studio.
Okay, sweet.
Some celery with some Dasani water.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
And the final thing that I saw on the news, and we'll end with this one, is the fact that George Clooney and I know more about the movie business than Alec Baldwin does.
What? You've probably been on a lot more sets than Baldwin has been lately.
I might have been. You're right. I did come across an article of George Clooney commenting on the Rust set and how there should have never been live rounds.
Yep.
Anywhere around the set. Plus the phrase cold gun that Alec used as a part of what they were saying. Like, I should have never been given a hot weapon.
Yeah.
When the AD handed it to me, he said it was a cold weapon. And he says that's never been used on any of his movie sets.
Really?
And I was saying the same thing.
You were.
That a hot weapon is a hot weapon, no matter if it has a live round in it, if it has anything in it. Even when they were doing the airsoft
yeah.
guns, they were saying hot weapon on set.
That's right.
And they're not fucking hot. They're wick. They're air cold. So I just found it interesting that Clooney knows all this about movie sets. He says that when he gets a weapon on set, that he actually fires it a couple of times to let people know. He looks at it. He shows it to the actors that he would be even pointing it at in a scene. And then he gives it straight to the armorer. The armorer gives it to him. It never goes through the AD.
Clooney's such a fucking pro.
Such a pro. And he says that the person to blame on that set is the AD. Because if the AD went and grabbed the weapon and handed it to Baldwin, it should have never gone through him in the first place.
Wow.
He says he's the criminal.
I like Clooney. Yeah. I've actually just found Another Wing by DJ Khaled.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. Yeah.
I'm going to
order some Another Wings.
I'm going to have you guess. How much do you think it is
for
20 wings? A choice of two flavors and two dips.
It better not be more than a normal set of 20 wings. 20 wings? I mean, 20 wings should be what? $10?
$23.45.
So more than a dollar a wing.
Yeah. And then also you're paying for delivery, aren't you? And tip, because you can't go fucking pick. It's a make-believe restaurant.
Okay.
Six-piece chicken tender combo.
Asking me.
Yeah, six pieces of chicken tenders with fries and a drink.
Okay, so if you go, that's like a McDonald's meal. So if you go to McDonald's and you get a six-piece with something like that, right? That's like, it should be $6 tops?
$21.45.
Okay.
No. That's why he's worth $75 million.
Sorry. Then you brought up another subject here, Jedi, that I have to touch on. Because I'm not going to wait until next podcast to do this. Saweetie.
Who?
Saweetie. I shot her a while back.
Hang on.
She's got...
I've never heard of it.
Saweetie. I shot her a while back in Venice.
What the fuck is Saweetie?
She's a rapper. Or Saweetie. A singer. Or R&B rapper.
I'm going to Google real fast.
Yeah, good. She'll play a song from her, too.
Saweetie.
She's got a McDonald's meal. Travis Scott had his McDonald's meal.
Yeah, we spoke about that, yeah.
And there's like numerous others. I think Big Bunny.
You're just making people up.
I saw the commercials. It's a new trend right now.
Big Bunny.
Yeah, where these artists, or whatever you want to call them, are putting their name on these meals. And these are fucked up meals. These are horrible meals, like 3,000 calorie meals, you know? They're just fast food shitstorm meals, you know? And they're putting their name on them, and these people are rushing out to fucking buy them, right?
Well, we said, wasn't Travis Scott paid $20 million or $10 million?
He got that. He made off of that shit because, you know, there's a percentage that goes back to whatever they get. And my brother-in-law was saying that his ex and his daughters, who were teenage daughters, they would love to go get the Travis Scott meal all the time.
The fuck?
Okay, answer me this, Jedi. Okay, we've got all this talk about being vaccinated and being safe, keeping everybody safe, you know. And if you're not, you're just against everything. You're an anti-vax. You're, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah. Why is there so much talk about Aaron Rodgers being an anti-vax? I haven't heard one thing about Ruggs and his car crash since the day it happened.
No.
You know, but we got 2 weeks on Aaron Rodgers and how bad he is. Anyway, all these people are coming up with these crazy meals, these fast food meals that are just contributing to the obesity of everybody in those neighborhoods that they're marketing to, you know, but no one says a word. No one says a word about it.
Okay.
And now we got DJ Khaled doing the same thing. And shame on anybody who goes and pays over $20 for these freaking wings.
That's a joke. Talking of all these meals real fast, if there were to be a mark PPC meal at McDonald's, what would it be? I've got mine. Do you want to know the Jedi real fast? What you think?
Yeah, yeah. I want
to
see that.
My go-to order at McDonald's. Not that I get McDonald's much, but occasionally when I'm on the road or when I'm working late and I haven't got a packed lunch, my go-to McDonald's order is 2 cheeseburgers.
You stole mine.
6 nuggets and a barbecue sauce.
Okay.
And,
that's good.
And usually no drink because I don't drink soda. And I usually have a bottle of water or water in the car with me.
Okay.
So that's it. 2 cheeseburgers, 6 nugs, barbecue sauce.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with what I used to do when I was like in high school and stuff like that. My meal would be this. Okay. It's 2 cheeseburgers as well.
Nice.
It's 2 cheeseburgers with bacon.
Ooh.
With fries on the burger.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay. And then a side of fries if you want. But that's what it is. 2 cheeseburgers, fries on the burger with bacon, no onion.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm just going to have to keep going fast food real fast. Just
go ahead.
Wiener Schnitzel, the chain Wiener Schnitzel, yes. One of my favorites. They have a burger called the Junkyard Chili Cheeseburger.
I don't think I've had that.
Okay. So it is a, it's the buns, it's the patty, covered in chili, cheese, onions, French fries, mustard, and ketchup in the burger.
Wow.
Because you just said the ketchup. You said the fries in the burger. That made me think of that. That's a fucking bomb burger.
Yeah, it sounds like a bomb burger.
I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Damn. All right, I guess we should
On that note, we're gonna get out of here and get something to eat.
Oh, yeah.
But if we have offended anybody on this papisode, we do apologize. Any last words, Jedi?
No.
All right. Well,
yeah.
If that's it and that's all, well then just I guess take care and fucking be well.
When I'm off, I am off.
Mine are like, shut up.